The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome to another award-winning Kiefer and Curry show here on the TKR app. Those three little letters can open up just a world of wonderful classic rock to the bone and over 14 unique programs, including Need to Know, which is done with Kip Kiefer, and of course also the Kiefer and Curry show, which I absolutely love. And we were talking briefly here, Kip, before we started our show, the Kiefer and Curry show, which by the way, you can hear at least five times a week in the TKR app, wherever you get your favorite podcast. You can find us on every major indice out there. We have thousands and thousands of followers on top of that. And also, of course, our YouTube channel on Tony Curry Radio, not to mention, of course, ABC 3340's starting lineup show, which will be back again on this Saturday morning, getting ready for the CFP, and of course, the Final Four coming up on New Year's Day. Cannot wait. You'll hear all the college football you get your whole hands on, too. It's going to be unbelievable. Kai Gregory, a good friend, will also be back on the show from Southern Precision Staffing, giving his nine picks. He went 9-0. No pressure. No pressure on his second appearance coming up on ABC 3340 this Saturday. But, you know, you're out Las Vegas, and you'll be flying back a little bit later on tomorrow, and obviously you have family out there. You do a lot of work out in Las Vegas. I love that town, despite the fact I haven't been out there in about 9 or 10 years. And then I was talking about this morning, as you and I did a show on Talk 99.5, I was heading in to this radio station, which is a radio station that I was employed at for over 30 years. It's never good when you're let go or when you're fired. I was hired as a group and I was fired as a group. And I'll always remember that day when I was asked to leave, and it's never a good feeling. But whenever you go back, and I analogize it, it's kind of like running into an old girlfriend, but you know she's going to be in the room. You're just not sure. It may have been amicable. She may have broken up with you. You may have broken up with her. But when you know you're going into a room with a person you have history with, and it was really hot and heavy for a long period of time, and you know you're going to run into them again, it gets awkward. It gets a little strange. And so I was thinking about atmospheric conditions. Just kind of go with me here, because I'm thinking, you know, you think about some of the great memories. We talk about a lot of great memories on Kiefer and Curry, and certainly on Need to Know as well. But you talk about the three things that really have to happen. You have to be the event, obviously, is important. Are you going to see a concert? Are you going to a wedding? Is it a funeral? What's the event about? You have to be with the right people that can really pull those heartstrings and make those moments even better. And then, of course, you talk about the atmosphere. Are you at the Fillmore East? Are you at Madison Square Garden? Are you in Las Vegas with your son? Are you on your backyard getting married? Or are you in Las Vegas opening a brand new venue? And when you have all three of those things performing in harmony, it's just an amazing, amazing situation. When you go into a situation where you already think it's going to be the best situation you've ever been through and you Griswold yourself, sometimes you can ruin the experience. And probably some of the best times in my life, and these are the ones that I'd really like to get onto, are the times where you really didn't expect anything, but it turns out to be a life-changing moment in your life. Do you feel me here?
Absolutely. Because you're so spot on. I can think of, right off the top of my head, dozens of examples of really anticipating being part of an event or attending some kind of a concert, sporting event, show, some kind of special, attraction, and walking away going, you know, it was like the old, I think it was Peggy Lee song, "Is That All There Is?" but sometimes it is the most spontaneous things that you never expect that are the memories that last the most. And that's why I think it's important for all of us, even in your daily pursuits, you never know what you're going to come across, and you really need to be prepared. And we talk a lot about our careers as parents. You're a great dad. You just had your kids for a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
For the Christmas holidays. I've always aspired to be as good a father as I could possibly be, because at the end of the day, there's nothing more important than that. But, I'm really proud of the fact that all that time and childhood for your kids goes by just like a bullet train. But I remember many times just stepping back when they did something great, or they said something profound, or we had an experience together that was memorable. I always remember thinking to myself, this is the greatest thing and I'm never going to forget this. So appreciate the ride. Things that are seemingly routine, believe me, you will get to a point someday where they mean more than any of the big things, the special things that you think you're going to participate in.
My dad used to always have these words, and he'd say it, and I find myself saying it now to my son. It doesn't get any better than this. He used to always say, it doesn't get any better than this. And he would say it, we'd be out in Vegas, because we're in Vegas, we're away from our wives or girlfriends, we're having a great time with 8 or 9 different guys, we're doing what guys do, we got no one telling us what time we have to go to bed, we're drinking all hours of the night, we're smoking cigars, we're gambling, and I remember my dad looking at me from across a blackjack table saying, it doesn't get no better than this. And I would laugh. Awesome. I would laugh because I know it would not be the last time he was going to say it. I knew he was going to say it at least 6 or more times. You know, he'd also say it's all good. There was a guy at Caesars. They had this omelet bar at Caesars, which was one of the greatest places. We used to eat there almost every single morning. And he would always say, it's all good. And I'd say, how you doing this morning? It's all good. So we'd wake up every morning because you're in Las Vegas. You're with your friends. You're with your family. You're with your father. You're with your sons. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're right. It doesn't get any better than this. And it's just amazing because, you know, I think about how blessed I've been to not only have lived the life I've had, but to live it in the entertainment business, much like yourself. We've been so blessed to have gone to so many wonderful sporting events that some people would have on their bucket list. And we're doing these things, you know, it almost seems like seamlessly once a week. It almost seems like we're doing things. And, you know, I'll even use the bowl game we had here in Birmingham recently, the 76 Bowl. It was Duke and in Troy playing a football game. I don't take that lightly. I was at the first All-American Bowl back in 1989 down at Legion Field. And I want to say Duke was playing in that as well. I'm not sure if it was the first one or not. And I remember Birmingham losing that bowl game, that affiliation, and it really bummed me out. And people are like, who cares? No one cares about bowl games. No one shows up. The fact that your city has a bowl game, I don't think people understand just how important and how reverent that is. It's just a wonderful thing that you are chosen out of 30 to 45 different venues to actually have something that is so revered and such a beautiful part of sports as we know it, that being the college bowl season, to have a piece of that action is just so important. I don't care if it's 2, 5, and 7 teams. I don't care. We've got it here in town. So I really take that seriously. But I'm at the game the other night, And it's about the fourth quarter and it's starting to get a little chilly. And some group of guys, there's like 3 guys are standing maybe 50, 60 yards away. And all 3 of them at one time said, Tony Curry. And I turned around and of course I'm with my son. My son's been with me enough times. He's like, dude, we go to Memphis. We've gone to LA together. He's like, people know you everywhere you go. I'm sure you get this a lot too, Kip, because a lot of you're out doing a lot. And he's like, it's amazing. I can't go anywhere without people knowing who you are. And then the next thing they said was, jitterbugs. And I was like, that's awesome. And I was like, pardon me? And they're like, Tony Curry, jitterbugs. Well, hell, jitterbugs hadn't been open in 15 years. No. And I used to go down to that place, if not once, sometimes twice a week. I was down there every Tuesday and Thursday doing the Miss Hawaiian Tropic Beauty Pageant. We were doing naval battles. We used to do our bar games. And I was as much a part of jitterbugs as part of me. And the fact that through everything we did and just talked about, that's what they remembered me from something that was 15 years ago. We're at a college football game for a bowl game. And the first thing out of their mouths was jitterbugs. That's kind of where I kind of got this idea of just how important, say, an environment is. And then, of course, I realized you're in Las Vegas, man. I mean, you want to talk about a place that creates its own memories. Oh, I mean, you remember everything. They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Nothing stays in Vegas, man. The memories will always be with you. But I tell that story. And of course, my son, his eyes rolled up in the back of his head. He's like, dude, I'm so glad. He said, dude, I'm so glad I wasn't alive when Jitterbugs was open. He goes, I don't know if I could take you, Dad. I'm not sure if I could handle you working at Jitterbugs. And I laughed and I said, you know, you're probably right, son. You're probably right.
There, Tony Curry once performed a marriage ceremony for 99 couples at Jitterbugs.
That's another one of those moments, one of those memories. And I'd give anything to find out the percentage of those 99 couples that still are wedlocked.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, really would be.
Our good friend Monty Ballard, who's an advertising legend in Birmingham, knows everybody, been everywhere, done everything. That was his account back in the day. I remember that was right the high times of that of Jitterbugs was right when I came to Birmingham for the first time in 1992, and was able to be on hand for a few of those different events. And what a happening place! Some great memories there. But Monty has. If we ever want to get into a special edition of just Jitterbug stories, Monty Ballard and you could wax poetic for hours.
And you know, it's crazy because, you know, we talk about places like the Nick, and I mentioned Rockingham Palace. These are places that you may have only been one. You may not even been to Rockingham Palace. You may have never been to Sammy's or never been to Jitterbugs, but the stories continue to, there's a place in Louisville, Kentucky called the Toy Tiger, which was just one of these places open 24 hours a day. Oh my gosh. And you say the Toy Tiger and you can literally see goosebumps rising from people's arms in the room, good and bad. And when you mention places like that, and just the reverence they have, you know, you talk about something like the Nick and people talk about, you know, crap holes and these horrible places we used to play, but they talk with them with such love and affection. You're like, oh my gosh, what a shithole that place is. Wasn't it great? And I'm like, yeah, it really was. It really is.
Total dives, but they're awesome. Yeah. That's great stuff.
Give me a, because you're one of the few people that's probably been more places than I have. But I kind of stuck this on you at the last minute. But I know you could pull this off because you're so respected. But I want you to give out give me a couple of places where perhaps you had no idea that you were going to have a fantastic memory behind it. Maybe it wasn't the right person. Maybe it was the right scene, but something just happened. If you can find it in the back of your brains, of a wonderful venue that just turned into something that you will never forget.
Well, it was kind of a monumental event, in the mid 70s, the U.S. Open golf tournament came to the South below the Mason-Dixon line for the first time at the Atlanta Athletic Club in Metro Atlanta. And it was a huge deal. And I was, you know, just such a sports nut. We went to every hockey game, almost every NBA game, caught the Braves regularly, you know, 15, 16 years old. We find a way to get down there and hustle up tickets. But for the U.S. Open, that was going to be a whole different animal because that was certainly not in a range where we could go out there and hustle tickets to get in.
Yeah.
So Tony, about a week before the U.S. Open, I went to Burns Security, who had a big ad in the Sunday paper. And for all of you young listeners, that's how you used to get a job. You would get the newspaper and actually look at this giant section of hundreds of jobs.
Yes.
And you'd have to call and get an appointment or show up at a time. So I had barely had my license. I drove downtown, went and had my little interview. They said they'd get back to me. Next thing I know, I'm being called for an orientation day. And it seemed like a great way to me to go out there and earn a little bit of money and, you know, do whatever I needed to do for my job duties. And then, you know, be able to have access to the golf course because I'd have my credential. That was my plan. It didn't work out too good the first week or so because for practice rounds and the early rounds of the tournament, they assigned me to this satellite parking area where they were loading up buses. And it was like a mile and a half from the course. It was hot. It was dusty. It was awful. And I was thinking, this is the biggest mistake that I've ever made. And I was real close to just chucking it all in and not doing it anymore until the final Sunday of the tournament. I did show up early that morning for my shift. And they said, oh, you're not going out to the parking lot today. We're real impressed with your work and how you work with the patrons out there, getting good reports. We're going to put you in a very important spot. And Tony, they put me as the gatekeeper of the ABC only parking lot. ABC television televising the U.S. Open. You had to have a green sticker on your car to get into the golf course into that parking lot, which was right along the 14th fairway, basically behind a fenced area. So I'm standing out there all morning and I'm being a stickler, people trying to pull in and park. I'm turning them around. You don't have a green sticker. About mid-morning in my shift, this southern gully washer blows in, just a downpour. A big Lincoln Town Car pulls in, and a guy rolls down the window. They had their proper sticker, and he said, you're getting drenched. You want to hop in here for a minute until this thing passes? And I Sure. Jump in the back, Tony. And guess who's in the car? None other than Jim McKay.
Oh, my God.
Probably the superstar broadcaster of his time.
Wow.
At that point, the host of everything on Wide World of Sports, all the major events, Super Bowls, Olympics. He was the guy, of course, at the Olympics in Munich when the Israeli athletes were kidnapped and later killed at the airport. Jim McKay came on. He's a sports guy, and nobody will ever forget this moment in broadcast history when Jim McKay looked at the camera, goes, "Report now from the airport, official, all the athletes have been killed in a helicopter explosion. They're all gone." And I mean, it was just so amazing to be sitting there as a 15-year-old kid with Jim McKay. Yeah. And he starts talking to me like I'm just a contemporary. You know, he's asking me about my future plans and told him I wanted to be a broadcaster. He's one of my idols. And what an experience. My shift ends about 2 o'clock that afternoon. I left out one other part of the story too. The last hour that I was on the lot, this gigantic Cadillac from Texas pulls in, Texas plates. Rolls down power windows, which in 1976 was kind of unusual. And the guy goes, "Hey, partner, can I park down here?" And I said, "No, sir, I'm sorry. You're going to have a green sticker to get in the lot." He holds up a $50 bill, Tony, and goes, "Is this green enough?" "Sir, that is green enough." "Go on in." And the rest of my shift, at $5, $10. If you flash me some green, I was letting you in the lot.
There you go.
To finish, the whole point of the story was I did get a chance that day to go and change clothes and walk out on the golf course. And it was the last round. And just by total happenstance on the 18th hole, the gallery was, of course, huge for following the final pairing. And I think it was John Mahaffey and Jerry Pate, an Alabama guy. And I walked as far as I could go down the ropes to get a spot to look back toward the tee box. And it just turned out to be the greatest twist of fate ever that Jerry Pate's drive landed no more than 4 or 5 feet from where I was standing behind the rope. He comes down there, sizes up everything. He's got a one-shot lead. He doesn't lay up over the water. He pulls out a 4-iron. And I'm telling you, Ike was close enough where I could almost reach out and grabbed his club in the backswing. But to stand right there and watch him hit one of the most famous shots in U.S. Open history, just absolutely nailed it, carried the water barely, crawled on the green. He makes birdie to finish in style and jumps in the big pond that he just carried. And a couple of days later, there's a Sports Illustrated cover with a picture of him. And I'm still disappointed to this day that somehow the angle wasn't right. I didn't get in the shot. But and the cover of Sports Illustrated, "You were great, Jerry Pate." And I lived that moment, and my expectation that day was to be standing in a dusty parking lot and never have the experience of seeing Jim McKay making about $200 cash and getting the hang right in the very spot where Jerry Pate hit one of the most famous shots in U.S. Open history.
Wow. What a great story. What a fantastic story. And you're right, man. Jim McKay, that was of all the individuals you could get stuck in a Cadillac with or get stuck in a limo with.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was it. And I had a wonderful conversation earlier today with the gentleman about Al Michaels, and just how, you know, he was telling the story about how he got stuck with Al Michaels, and he was not aware that I was a Cincinnati boy. I said, "Hell, I used to listen to Al Michaels when he's calling Cincinnati Reds games, for God's sake."
Sure.
The Miracle on Ice in 1980. So just an amazing story. That's a great story. I was going back because whenever I do have an experience, and anyone that knows me knows that it's going to be fun one way or another. I don't care how it is. And I always tell my kids this, and you know, I just had my kids for 2 weeks, and I'm going to do the best I can without getting choked up here. I have so much fun with them. We just live our lives for each other, and I know it's going to be a blast with them. And I told them, as they left to go to their mothers yesterday, I said, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's raining. It doesn't matter whether we're sitting in an alleyway in Bessemer, or it doesn't matter whether we're sitting, you know, at a Holiday Inn in Maui. I said, I know no matter where we're at, as long as I've got you guys by my side, it's going to be an event. It's going to be adventurous, and we're going to have a good time, because it doesn't matter what the atmosphere is. It doesn't matter what the event is. It doesn't matter even where the place is, the environment. As long as I'm with you guys, I know it's going to be just a wonderful moment. And it is. is. I mean, every moment is fantastic. And I wish that sometimes I go into these situations. If you're going to see Jackson Brown in Las Vegas with your son, pretty much a slam dunk. I mean, you pretty much know, yeah. Hey, listen, it would take a lot to screw this night up. I mean, outside flat tires or God forbid someone getting severely hurt, pretty hard to screw up a night like Jackson Brown in Las Vegas, hanging out with your kids or going to a sporting event. So, you know, you put yourself in these positions so you can have these wonderful times. I've been put in a lot of situations, and my old radio partners, Aldo Greco and Jay Barker, used to always look at me and they're like, why are you always around for these things? Because whenever something happened, something, it could be great, it could be celebratory, it could be horrific, I was always near it. Whatever it was, when the bombing went off at Olympic Centennial Park, the 1996 Olympics, I was right across the street. I was 50 yards away from it. The blast actually blew the drink out of my hand. I've always been really close to major things that have happened. And so whenever I went to go to Olympics in you know, a different part of the world or whatever, they were always talking about the next international incident with Tony Curry because they knew something was going to happen in and around me. But I want to take it back. And this memory just came because I was trying to think of some things where I went into a situation and I really wasn't quite expecting anything, but it really turned out to be an event or something that I still revere in my brain. So I was part of this thing called the AC Celebrity Weekend. And it was me and you name it, every former Alabama football player, every former Auburn football player, you name it. We were all down at Orange Beach for this golf tournament. And it was for Jeremiah Castile's mission work. He had, mm-hmm. of course, a lot of mission work and he's done a wonderful job speaking at churches his entire life. And it was Jeremiah Castile's missions. And he was trying to raise money for his ministries. And so we were down there doing this golf tournament. Well, you know, I didn't play football. The only connection I had to Alabama football was Jay Barker, who, of course, was my radio partner, and Aldo Greco, who was, of course, my Auburn sidekick. And through those two guys, I got introduced to a lot of amazing individuals. I didn't know who half these Alabama people were because they were before my time. And I would get in these rooms full of these Alabama All-Americans, and I wouldn't know who the heck they were. I just didn't, because I wasn't born and raised here. I got here relatively late in my life. And so I had a lot of catching up to do. So we're at this golf tournament, and this is going to be the first time I've ever shared the story, because I've been afraid to share the story till this moment in time, but I think we're safe to do this now.
Okay.
So I'm at this golf tournament, and I want to say, I believe it was at Emerald Bay. I'm not sure. Forgive me if I'm mistaken with the name of the golf course. I want to say it was Emerald Bay. And, we all had rides to get there. And of course, I was usually bringing up the rear. You know, we were doing best ball. And I missed my ride to get back to the hotel. And I had my golf clubs with me. I'm sitting there, and by the time it's all said and done, there's only a few more vehicles leaving the parking lot, heading back to the hotel. At this point, I'm thinking, I'm just going to go ahead and get a cab. They just left me here. And this guy walks up to me, and just, I'm not kidding you. If it wasn't a Barbie movie, I would have thought twice. I mean, it was unbelievable. And the only reason it wasn't a Barbie movie is because this guy had a lot of hair, but one of the most incredibly handsome people I had ever met, Barry Krause, was there.
Barry Krause. Yeah.
Anyone that's ever met Barry Krause, I mean, you swear you can hear violins and this symphonic, angelic music starts to play. He is one of the most gorgeous, attractive men. And I would say this on the air to him. I'm just telling you, I'm as heterosexual as they come, but he's one of the most attractive dudes you'll ever set your eyes on. The guy's unbelievable. He could easily be this new Golden Bachelor, the show. He could kill it. The guy stays in impeccable shape. He's unbelievable. Now take into account that, again, this is like 25 years ago. And so he walks up to me, and I had met him earlier in the day, and he's like, Hey, Curry, what's going on? I said, hey, and it felt so good to know that I was not in that fraternity of football players, but I was being treated as one of the guys, you know,
and
it felt really cool because I didn't play with these guys. And he's like, what's going on? I said, oh, I missed my ride. He goes, well, you want to catch a ride with us? And I said, no. He goes, no, just catch a ride with us. I said, no. He goes, dude, we're going back to the same hotel. Just hop in the car with us. And I said, okay. So I get in the car. Barry Krause is sitting to my right. To my left is Murray Legg. And by the way, and I had met Murray before, and just a classic, an Alabama classic in his own right, just a fantastic guy. And then driving the car was the newly reigning defensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. This is back in 2007, 2008, a guy named Kirby Smart. Well, I had no clue who Kirby Smart was. I didn't know who Kirby Smart was. I knew that he had just gone from the DB to the DC. He got there in 2007. So this must have been 2008, his full year of being defensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And, you know, I knew him because we had him on our radio show. We did sports, this, that, and the other. But as far as, you know, knowing anything about his family or where he came from or where he coached in the past, I had no clue. And so I'm sitting in the car with these three guys. And now let's take into account that we teed off at 6:30 in the morning. It's about 6:30 at night. You can imagine how many libations were poured through our vocal cords over the last 12 hours. I was certainly a young whippersnapper. I was getting after it. So all of us had quite a bit. and all I can remember is I can remember Barry just absolutely just giving Murray hell. I mean, just giving this poor guy, you put Barry next to Murray and they don't, something doesn't quite fit the picture, right? I mean, you're not going to see Murray Legg, God rest his soul. You're not going to see Murray Legg in the next Bachelor. You're not, but a great guy. And of course, Kirby is sitting there and they had just gotten to kind of know each other because this is Kirby's first/second year. And so these three guys are just busting each other's balls while I'm sitting in this car as we make our way back to the hotel. And I can just remember Kirby saying, you know, what happens in the car stays in the car. We're going down a street, and I could not tell you in a million years if my life depended on what the street was, but we were driving down the street. We must have been going for 5 or 6 miles and only realized when we saw headlights coming in the opposite direction that we were going the wrong way down a one-way street, and it had to be for 3 or 4 miles. We were laughing. We were cutting up. They were busting my balls. I was busting theirs. It was great. I couldn't even remember what we talked about, and all of a sudden we realized we're on a one-way street. There's no telling how long we had driven. And of course, you know, Kirby's driving the car. And I'm thinking to myself, I think about that story. This is the first time I've ever divulged that story. But I just think to myself, first year as DC, could you imagine if, in fact, he got pulled over at a golf tournament in Florida with Tony Curry in the backseat, Barry Krause and Murray Legg. But it was one of those situations where I'll never forget it. And I was just so enamored and pleased the fact that first of all, they believed in me enough to know that a radio guy, a classic rock radio knucklehead, a Zuru kind of guy would be respected enough to know that I would not share stories like that at least 25 years in the making, and that they'd include me in their little busting scene. But it was just an amazing situation. And I'll always remember that situation. I just remember that being with those three guys, being in that situation, and how, you know, just a few seconds one way or the other could have changed everything, and really could have changed not only all of our careers, but certainly mine. And it was just, that's when, you know, you had feelers and you had Reuters and you had people on the ground always looking for stuff to write stories up on. And I just keep going back to that story thinking to myself, man, what if that one car coming the opposite direction was a police officer, how things would have changed. Thank goodness they didn't. And just to think where everyone else is now, it's just an amazing story.
Well, you know what I love about our format here is that, you know, we might start off in one direction, but just let these discussions build their own momentum. Mm-hmm. So this has kind of turned into, with both of our stories here that came to mind, the better way to tag this would have been those pinch yourself moments, or is this really happening to me? Yes. And you had one this morning when Tony Curry returned to the radio station. He helped build, and I say it's the house that Tony Curry built, Talk 99.5 today. And you returned after a 4.5 year absence after your departure, and did a great job today.
Thank you.
And I appreciated you being there with me out here in this remote location to a partner up. Huh. And that was a pinch yourself moment for me, because I was really glad to have a part in making that happen, because 99.5 is the house that Tony Curry built. And that was a pinch myself moment today while that show was going on.
Well, you're very kind to say that. And it's just amazing how God places people in your lives. And, you know, I've known you for a long period of time, and this is not a blow wind up your skirt segment by any stretch, but I do have a huge amount of respect and reverence for what you've done, not only at the Birmingham Racecourse and Casino, but certainly in your illustrious career, and the fact that you've gotten an opportunity to do so many things that I think are just so incredibly cool. The fact that they even ask you to come up and fill in, it should tell you how much you're revered, not only in sports radio, but certainly in political radio, because they trust you enough. I know they didn't trust me enough to do it on my own by any stretch, and I could not have. It's funny because, and I kept talking about this dream I was having this morning. I was, like I said, I was on the cusp of almost a panic attack because I had made that drive in at 5:15 for 30 straight years. I didn't take days off. And I'm driving in this morning, and I really was having one of those moments where even after the show had started, I think it was like 7:36 or 7:37 this morning, I did have that pinch my skin moment where I was like, am I really sitting here? Am I really doing this? And why am I sitting here? Why am I doing this? That's probably exactly. Probably one of the reasons it went so quick and was so enjoyable, and looking forward to doing it again tomorrow morning. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Me too, because we kind of explored the uncharted territory today. I think tomorrow we'll have a real good sense of exactly where we're going, and I'm looking forward to another great show like we team up to do every week right here on TKR on the Kiefer and Curry Show.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.